A new ranking, Eagles flight, and published research. It's all on Tennessee Tech Today this week. Hello, everyone. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director, and thanks for tuning in to the award-winning Tennessee Tech Today show. As reflected in Money's newest college rankings, Tennessee Tech continues to provide a high-value education for students, combining low cost with a high salary after earning their Tennessee Tech degree. According to Money's Best Colleges for Your Money rankings data, Tennessee Tech graduates have the second highest early career salary of any ranked university in Tennessee, the lowest estimated price, and the second lowest average student debt. In both categories, where Tech is second, Vanderbilt University is first. 11 schools, both public and private, from Tennessee made the rankings. The only other ranked public university in the state is the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. In the Southeast region, Tech is ranked 35th among public colleges in the Southeast and 50th overall. A total of 739 of the nation's best-performing colleges made up the magazine's final list. And with us to talk about this new Money Rankings is Tennessee Tech President Phil Oldham. And President Phil Oldham joins us now. And President Oldham, it's always great to see Tennessee Tech being ranked by certain publications and that kind of thing. It just keeps reiterating the fact that more and more people are they know what kind of a value Tennessee Tech is.
Yeah, it's... I think it's a great testament to what we have here at Tennessee Tech and the great environment it is for student learning and the value proposition, you know, particularly these kind of rankings from places like Money Magazine or PayScale, you know, really point to the fact that it's not only affordable to come to Tennessee Tech, but it's a great value, leads to a great career and great career earnings.
And with so many choices out there for higher education, families are looking for the best value.
Yeah, they are. It's definitely an investment. Higher education is an investment in the future of these young people, and we want to make sure it pays off for them. I know that they and their families want to make sure it pays off as well. So, you know, I'm really proud of the position Tennessee Tech is in currently to make sure that students get a great value for their educational dollar.
You know, with everything that's been going on with the COVID-19 pandemic and in this area with tornadoes 6 months ago, it's been a very challenging time. But, you know, enrollment numbers look good. And now Tennessee Tech, you know, being recognized by Money Magazine again. I mean, it just seems like every little positive that you get just kind of helps everybody that's involved at Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, it does. We know we're doing the right things. And these are challenging times. You're exactly right. Unprecedented, actually, you know, what we're having to deal with. But you know, this campus, this community has absolutely risen to the occasion and accepted these challenges head on and doing a fantastic job. We're doing what we need to do to keep everybody safe and healthy on campus, keep the COVID numbers low, and continue to be able to have in-person classes, and that's what the students want. That's what all of us want.
Yeah, and we're 3 weeks into the semester. You know, how would you assess everything that has gone on at this point? Is it kind of what you had expected?
Well, we certainly hope for the best, but we have prepared for the challenge, and so we've spent several months getting the campus ready communicating with everybody to help them understand what these changes are all about, why we're doing them. But the level of participation and cooperation on campus has been absolutely outstanding. I mean, the work that the faculty and staff have put in to get us to this point, and then the way the students have engaged in such a powerful way is just a great testament to this campus and the history of Tennessee Tech. It's gone far better than any of us probably expected.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, anything else you want to add as far as the semester or the money ranking?
No, I think I'll do it.
All right. Well, we appreciate you being with us.
Thank you. Appreciate it, buddy.
When we come back, we'll talk Eagles flight with a couple of student mentors. Stay with us.
More Tennesseans are turning to the state's best public university, Tennessee Tech. Tech produces bold, fearless, confident graduates who get an outstanding return on investment, who graduate with the least amount of debt in the South, who earn higher, early career salaries. Tennessee Tech, just like our state, is soaring to greater heights. Tech is Tennessee. To find out more, visit tntech.edu/techistn.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. I'm Buddy Pearson, the News and Communications Director. Well, Eagles Flight is a program designed to enable undergraduate students to transition from lower division general education coursework into foundational business courses as a learning community of students. As a learning community, students will attend at least two classes together and will have additional opportunities for learning support, including study skill workshops, career planning sessions, tutoring and study sessions, and other skill-building sessions. And with us to tell us more about Eagles Flight are two mentors, Caitlin DeBrell and Isabel Badeau. Yeah, so is this something that students know about or you're trying to get the word out? I mean, where do they go for Eagles Flight?
Yes, it's new, and so we are trying to get the word out. We post a lot in the Tech Times, and we also send out emails, and we do a lot of posting flyers on campus and things like that. And we've designed it to help students develop professionally, become more involved on campus, and to most importantly, succeed in their classes. And we are hoping to help students succeed through creating a learning community. And we decided to do so because studies have shown that students do well in courses when they know people inside their classes who they can communicate with outside their classes as well.
Yeah. So why are you two involved in it?
We really wanted to help students develop professionally. We're actually in the MBA program, and we know how important it is to have people you can speak to about your classes, both inside and outside your classes. And so we're hoping to help students succeed by giving them any advice that we can.
Yeah, so that's why I joined also, because it's always good to have someone to look up to, and especially like people that are in the undergrad classes, we can help them with their scheduling, and we also have tutoring for the undergrad students.
Oh, great. So Caitlin, what brought you to Tech, and where are you from? What brought you to Tech, and what are you majoring in?
So I am from Sparta. I did my undergrad at Tech, and so I thought it was a great community, so I just continued to do my MBA.
And Isabel, where are you from, and what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
I am from Cookeville, and I came to Tennessee Tech because I love the community, and of course, I'm from Cookeville, and so I heard a lot about it growing up. And I decided to stay here for my MBA after I got my undergrad in accounting, because I really loved being able to meet the professors I did and all the friends I made on campus. And I like the program as well.
So how do you want Eagles Flight to go? I mean, obviously you want it to reach students on campus. Where do you want to take this?
We are hoping to, of course, reach a lot of students on campus, but we're also hoping that the students will be able to network with some of the guests we're going to bring in for our events coming up, and just to be able to get to know more about the school and meet more of the faculty and staff at the school and really feel that they're a part of Tennessee Tech.
Yeah, and so is there a website, or is there someplace they can go to get information?
We do have a website. We're in the process of updating it, so the best way to get information is to email either one of us or even the College of Graduate Studies, and we can give all the information that you need.
Great. Well, I think it's great that you both have started this and want to help out and want to reach out and help students. Are you looking for other students to get involved and help you with this, help you carry it forward?
So far, we have all the mentors we need. Thankfully, the school's helped us a lot with developing the program. We are hoping, of course, to gain more students, and the club is actually open to everyone, but it's especially for students of color. We'll be having a lot of events about studying, keeping up with time management, and getting involved on campus, and learning more about diversity in the workforce. And so we're just asking that students come out and participate.
Oh, great. Are there some faculty that's been helping you all as well?
Yes.
So Dr. Alice Community, she has been helping us.
And also Ms. Julie Galloway in the College of Business has been a good help too. And we've also had other professors show interest, like Dr. Campbell from the Black Cultural Center has been helpful, and Ms. Simone McKelvey has been helpful as well.
Great. Well, congratulations on getting Eagles Flight up and going, and I certainly hope that it reaches the heights that you're looking for when you have started. Is there anything else you want to add?
Not much. Thank you so much for having us on, and we ask all the students to come out and hear more about us and read more about us in the Tech Times.
Thanks, ladies. Well, we have some published research to talk about right after this quick break. Stay with us.
When the world is moving this fast, boldness is rewarded. At Tennessee Tech, we help you find your bold. We'll help you turn it into a career-ready education. That's Tennessee Tech. Bold futures begin here. tntech.edu/visit.
Welcome back to Tennessee Tech Today. It is always exciting to have your research published by a national publication. Lauren Michelle, an assistant professor in earth sciences, is having some of her research published in Sedimentology, the Journal of the International Association of Sedimentologists. And joining us now is Lauren Michelle. So Lauren, tell us a little bit about your research and just, you know, how it came about and what you've kind of been doing with it now that you've got it published.
So thanks for having me on. So my research here at Tech, and my research broadly, is looking at climate change in the rock record. So I'm sure people who are listening to the show have heard this before, that, you know, our Earth's climate is changing today.
Yeah.
And that it is changing. And so one way we can look at the climate changes we're seeing today is by studying times in Earth's past where climate has changed as well, and use those climatic changes to sort of help guide and inform us and inform people who model climate, like what that might look like in the future. And one easy example is sort of when we look at climate changes in the past, how much time did those climate change happen and how does that compare? So today we look at climate change and the rates of change, for example, are unprecedented. Mm-hmm. So I reconstruct climate in the rock record. And so that's my research broadly. One place that I do this is in East Africa. And so when I was in, long time ago, when I was in grad school, I had never traveled a lot. I grew up on the East Coast, and I had never really left the East Coast much. And so when I went to graduate school, I started having these opportunities to go around the country and around the world and see parts of the world I'd never seen before.
Sure.
And one of those places happened to be Ethiopia, and I fell in love with Ethiopia, and then I weaseled my way back to Africa doing work in Kenya. So I've been reconstructing climate with some friends of mine in Kenya for over a decade now. We've been thinking about how climate has changed in East Africa, and this is concurrent with sort of early, some of these sites are very famous fossil sites for early apes. And so we're looking at climate shifts in the rock record, and we're looking at how ape ancestors are responding to those climate shifts and how they're evolving and adapting to them.
Okay. So you've done this research, and how interesting to be able to do that where you were. I mean, what was that experience like, you know, going over to another country and actually doing research? I mean, what were some of the challenges that you had with that?
Yeah, so as I said, when I was an undergrad a long time ago, I had been up and down the East Coast from Maine to Florida. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'd actually ever been to Tennessee before, and I grew up in New Jersey, so that's pretty sad. I'd been to West Virginia, so I'd seen that. I grew up in Appalachian Territory, but never had seen Tennessee, and then I'd been to California, and that was it in the U.S. And so I thought that the best geologists had seen the most rocks. And so I drew a line down the Mississippi, and I only applied to grad schools west of the Mississippi. And so I, in my head, this was going to be like the Rockies, but I landed in Texas, which is not the Rockies. It's pretty flat.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when I got to start really traveling, it was really an amazing opportunity and an experience I'm very grateful for. And so it's been really fun. It's been eye-opening to see. I've gotten to do research everywhere from Europe to Kenya, to Africa, to Antarctica. And so
wow.
those are all, you see very different perspectives every time you go and travel somewhere else. And sometimes you get a little jealous of how good the food is. and sometimes you get very grateful for how lucky and privileged we are here in this country. So in Africa, I mean, there's lots of challenges, everything from logistics to getting there. We have brought a number of, well, I brought two Tennessee Tech students with me so far, and I'm hoping to bring more in the future. And that's always been really fun. But, you know, getting there is hard. It's like 24 hours of flying. And it can be hard. We're camping, so you have to really like camping. It's up to 3 or 4 weeks when you're showering out of a bag. You're not like showering with a hotel room.
Right.
But the food is amazing and the people are amazing. And like I said, I've worked there for a decade, so I've got great friends now who I get to work with.
Yeah, that's great. And we want to talk some more about that research in just a moment. But so what brought you to Tennessee Tech?
So when I moved across the country, I had cut my teeth on West Virginia and Western Virginia Appalachian geology. And there's in terms of geology, this is some of the oldest and coolest and best rocks to study, if you ask me. And so I really liked this part of the country in terms of the geology. And then when I was finishing up grad school and postdocing, there was a opportunity out here at Tennessee Tech, and I really jumped at the chance to be in this part of the world. In addition to working in where I do, there's the kinds of works, the kinds of paleoclimate reconstructions that I want to do. There's some classic examples of this actually down in Sparta. So I've got students down in Sparta looking at outcrops. And so it's just world-class geology, world-class people, you know, great place to be.
Well, so your article that is being published, tell us about it. Tell us the title of it. I'm not so sure I could do it justice, so I'll let you give us the title of it.
Article is called Sedimentological and Paleoenvironmental Study from Waregi Hill in the Hoegi Formation, Early Miocene, on Rusinga Island, Lake Victoria, Kenya. That's the title of the paper.
And it's going to be published in Sedimentology, which is a national journal for sedimentologists. So I'm sure that's very exciting. So with that title, what does that paper tell us?
So this was a really fun study that we got to look at. And so this is a really interdisciplinary work. So the work that I'm doing isn't really mine. I'm part of a much larger group.
Okay.
And so what this study looks at a very through a number of different lenses or through a number of different means, we all approach this one outcrop of rock. So it's called a formation, and a formation is just sort of a conformable unit of rocks. And so we went to a specific site, and we each one of us attacked this site, this location, with our own expertise. And what we then did is looked at how the rocks themselves were recording the climate and the environment, the environment and with that, the climate, and then how the paleontology, how the fossil communities within those rocks were changing. And so what is important about this time period, so it's just about 20 million years ago.
Okay.
These rocks. So we have a colleague of ours who just dates the rocks. We've got, and so he figured out the rocks were about 20 million years ago. So it's a trope. It's not true. We know it's not true, but scientists like to go back to this sort of very simplistic model, which is that 20 million years, and I will say I have done this before as a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 million years ago, all of Africa is this gigantic forest. That's the trope. And in this gigantic forest that spreads from West Africa to East Africa, you have all of these different animals living there. And during this time period, we see the evolution of things like apes and monkeys. And that certainly is really interesting. But we also see like all these cool like animals. So something called gompatheres exists. And these are like sort of predate. They look a bit like, we call them shovel tuskers, but they look a little bit like elephants.
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got these weird tusks that we think shoveled out dirt. They're They're weird. They're awesome. So you have all these different animals living there, and there's these big forests.
Yeah.
And what's important is that when you look at the adaptations of these animals, they look like they lived in forests.
Right.
And this is a drastically different than when you think about, so certainly West Africa today, you can still find remnants of the forest. But if you go to East Africa, when we think of East Africa, we think about lions and we think about the wildebeest migration and we think about big open savannas.
Right.
And so there's this argument that we know is incorrect that 20 million years ago, Africa is a big forest and that you have this change from a forest to an open savanna. And it's this like singular one directional change. And that with that comes like human evolution and people walking upright. And there's reasons, there's all these evolutionary reasons for why you would walk upright if you're in an open savanna. Like you can see your predators and you can see your prey and you have less of your body that is getting hit by sunlight. And so there's this sort of trope about this, right? So we go from a forest to a savanna, and this is what human evolution kind of drives human evolution. And scientists know that's wrong. But there's been lots of problems in terms of maybe you have one study site or one place that looks open on the landscape, and so this people still go back to this argument. And this study, what's so powerful about it is that we could see at 20 million years ago when you looked at the different rocks, we saw evidence for more dry conditions, more aridity lower down in the rocks. And as we systematically walked through the rocks and measured them and described them, we could see evidence for trees, and in fact, at the top of the sequence, we found tree stump casts, and we were able to reconstruct a forested environment there.
Oh, wow.
And so we know that at one specific location, over time in East Africa, there was evidence of this place being both open and closed.
Well, that's
and
awesome.
So that and so when you layer in with this all the different fossils of everything, like we've got evidence of rodents, evidence of rabbits, all evidence of monkeys and apes. What we can see is that there was complicated environments and that the communities, the ecosystems were responding, plants and animals were responding to these changes. And that's much more complicated than we've been able to say in East Africa prior to this.
Wow, that's interesting. And so with that being published in Sedimentology, how often, I mean, I'm sure it's always a thrill when you get your research published. Is that something that happens quite often, or is it something that you really have to work at and to see it published? It's just one of those big rewards that you get.
I definitely think that it's something probably most Tennessee Tech students don't appreciate about their faculty, that we all love, most of us love teaching and we love working in the classroom with the students,
mm-hmm.
but we don't just teach, that we also do research, and that often comes with, for me, it's often a lot of years that I have to work at asking a question and then trying to collect the data to prove or disprove the question, and to finally see that come to light in the form of a publication and one that other scientists have looked at and agree with. You know, they say, my peers say, you know, what you've shown is true, we supported. That's always a great thrill. It always is a rewarding experience.
Yeah, that is great. And now, do you have other research that you're working on that you're hoping to get published?
I've got a couple irons in the fire. I've got some work with students here at Tech where we're trying to reconstruct climate much older in the rock record. And in this time period, we can see a transition from having glaciers on the poles to not having glaciers on the poles. So this is very similar to climate today.
Mm-hmm.
So that's work I'm working on. And then last summer, a group of my colleagues from this paper and I were out in Kenya on a different project and a different group of rocks. And we're now revising what we think about the geology on Rusinga. We're revising what the units are. And we found a mummified fossilized crocodile.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be so we have we can actually have the skin impressions, and this is also about 20 million years old. We've got skin impressions and the eye, we've got the eye flap and the eye, like the fat around the crocodile's eyes, and all of it is, you can still see it, skin impressions and everything, but it's not a crocodile. It's a mineral called calcite. So that's going to be, that formation and that unit is going to be a lot of work in the future for my colleagues and I.
Wow, that sounds really cool. So you really,
it's pretty fun.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you sharing all that with us. Is there anything else you want to add as far as your research or getting published?
I guess not really. I guess, you know, it's always a good time, and I hope our Tennessee Tech students, when all of the faculty, regardless of where you are, tell you to work on your writing, know it's because we're writing too.
Yeah. All right, Lauren Michelle, an assistant professor in earth sciences with us. She's published, and she's working on a lot of research. You certainly have a lot going on.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. And that's going to wrap up Tennessee Tech Today for this week. Be sure to check out the TT website at tntech.edu or check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Until next week's show, be bold, fearless, confident, and kind. Wings up, everybody.